They looked into each other's eyes and recognized what they saw there.
I can't kill you. It would be like killing myself. Surrender, Captain. Put down your sword and I guarantee your safety. The Rebellion's going to need someone like you to help us rebuild.
My loyalty
is to the people of the Empire. Help us preserve the best so we don't throw it out along with the bad.
Captain John Silence looked back at his Empress, then around at the hell she'd made of her court, and slowly opened his hand and let his sword drop to the floor. It made hardly any sound. Owen lowered his blade. They nodded respectfully to each other, then turned to look at Hazel Dark and Investigator Frost. They dueled each other to a standstill, standing face to face, breathing hard and harsh, swords shaking in their exhausted hands. Their eyes were as fierce as ever, but they had driven themselves beyond strength or stamina, and they were both too proud to draw on their unnatural strength and skills.
Give it up, Hazel. You're never going to win, either of you. And neither of you is ever going to yield. You're two alike. Call it a day, and let's get on with what we came here for.
Hazel considered it, frowning thoughtfully as sweat dripped off her face.
What the hell? We can always try this again later, when we've got more time. What do you say, Investigator? I'll step back if you will.
Never! I'm an investigator. The Empire made me what I am. I'll never give up. Never give in. Kill me if you can, Rebel.
It doesn't have to be this way.
Yes, it does. This is my life. My meaning. My purpose. I'll never back down. It's not in me. Kill me if you can.
Hazel lowered her sword.
I can't. Not like this.
I can.
And in a movement so fast no one recognized it till it was too late, Kit Summerisle drew a hidden dagger and threw it at Frost with all his strength behind it. She turned slightly as she spoke, and the knife took her in the throat. Blood spurted thickly, running down her chest in streams. She dropped her sword and clutched at her throat with both hands. Blood welled between her fingers. She started to pull the knife free, and then sat down suddenly as the strength went out of her. Silence was quickly there at her side, holding her in his arms. She shuddered uncontrollably, and he held her tighter. She looked shocked, confused, as though she couldn't believe this was happening to her. Silence gingerly pulled the blade from her throat.
Stupid way to die.
Blood sprayed from her mouth in a fine red mist.
I feel cold. So cold.
I've got you, Frost. I'm right here.
Never thought it would end like this.
Hush. Save your strength so we can get a medic in here.
No. We never lied to each other, Captain. Don't start now.
Then heal yourself. I did.
Too late, Captain. Too late.
You were a good soldier. The best. Right to the end.
Of course. I'm an investigator. John?
Yes.
But the breath just went out of her in a long, bloody sigh. And she was gone. Silence hugged her to him.
Good soldier. Good soldier.
Eventually he let her go and got to his feet. His uniform was soaked with her blood. Silence looked at the Summerisle, who smiled back at him.
Why? Why her and not me?
You killed my David. Now you know what I felt. Want to try and kill me now, old man?
Not right now. There's been enough killing here. And and she never would have surrendered. Just stay out of my sight, killer.
He turned away to face Owen and Hazel, as though he didn't know what to do next. Stelmach and Frost were dead, and he had repudiated his empress. It didn't seem possible that his whole life could have been destroyed in such a short time.
I'm sorry about the investigator. Sometimes it just is impossible for everyone to win.
You loved her, didn't you? Did you ever tell her?
She wouldn't have known how to answer me. She was an investigator.
There was nothing more to say. So they all turned to look at Lionstone, alone on her throne. She glared back at them defiantly. All her champions were dead or defeated, but she still hadn't given up. It was an almost perfect moment of opposition, and it hung endlessly on the air, as though neither side wanted to break it. Hell had grown very quiet. The angel guards were dead, the maids-in-waiting were human again, and even the hologram illusions were still, as though waiting to see what would happen next. Owen moved slowly forward to stand alone at the foot of the Iron Throne. He'd come a long way to reach this place, this moment, to stand before the woman who destroyed his life and taken away everything he'd ever had or cared for. Because of her, he'd been sent wandering through the Empire, always running from the hounds on his trail, never to feel safe or secure again. Because of her, he'd been forced to become someone he still wasn't sure he approved of, the kind of man his family had always wanted him to be, a warrior. Fighting for a cause, he wasn't always sure he really believed in. But every time he wavered, all he had to do was remember a young girl lying bloodied on the Mistport snows, crippled by his sword, crying helplessly till he killed her out of mercy. Time to end it all now. He nodded almost familiarly to the Empress.
It's over, Lionstone. Time to go. Step down.
No, not yet. It isn't over till I say it's over. Step away from the throne, Owen. This isn't your moment. It's mine.
Everyone turned to look at Giles. The old warrior in his barbarian's furs, the legendary hero of centuries past, stood calmly a little distance away from the others, his sword in his hand. He smiled at them, and something in that smile made them all shiver. He lifted his blade and set the edge against his mercenary scalp lock. He sawed through the thick hair with ease, and then held it thoughtfully in his hand for a moment, before throwing it away.
That's it. No more a mercenary. No more fighting for other men's causes. I am my own man again, the Deathstalker, and I will take the crown now, as it was always meant I should. I will be emperor and put things right again. I'm the only one who understands what has to be done to restore the Empire, to make it strong again, before the aliens or the Haydenmen or Shub rise to destroy humanity. The people will follow me. They've always had a soft spot for heroes and legends. I will remake the old Empire, as it was 1,000 years ago, before the rot set in. No more clones or espers or other genetic abominations.
He smiled at Owen in a fatherly fashion.
It was always meant to be me, Owen. I knew when I went into stasis 943 years ago that I would have to plan for the long term. Step outside of time so I could wait to return till the odds were in my favor again. All during that time, the computers in my standing monitored events and maintained contact with my clan. They planned and plotted, shaping events, preparing for my eventual return. Your father was the last contact, Owen. A very adroit agent. He set the final plans in motion, funded the rebels on Mistworld, created the Abraxas Information Center, and was finally planning a trip to Chandrakor to wake me, when he made a misstep, drew attention to himself at just the wrong moment, and the Empress sent Kid Death to put an end to his intrigues. It was a major blow. Your father had always meant to be the leader of the coming rebellion, a warrior politician with the legendary Deathstalker name. The people would have followed him as he prepared them for my return. But then he was gone, and I had no choice but to replace him with you, a feeble historian who never even wanted to be the warrior his inheritance demanded. To temper the steel that will become a sword blade, you beat the hell out of it and test it almost to the point of destruction. So, I tempered you. It wasn't difficult for some of my agents to convince Lionstone to outlaw you, and thus set you on the path that would eventually bring you to me. The maze confused things. It was only ever intended that I should pass through the maze and gain the powers it promised. But under the pressure of events, I had no choice but to allow you and your companions to pass through too. You were never meant to become superhuman like me. Still, you haven't turned out too badly, Owen. I've made you a warrior in spite of yourself, a credit to your family name. But now it's time for you to step aside. It was never meant to be you, boy. This is my moment, my destiny. I will be emperor, as it was always meant I should.
Owen stared at Giles for a long moment, and then shook his head.
To hell with that. I didn't come this far, spill this much blood just to replace one tyrant with another, even if he is family. Put down your sword, Giles. You left it too late. Your time is over. We do things differently now. The rebellion grew from the Clone and Esper undergrounds, not your meddling. We've had enough of families and emperors. It's time for somebody new.
Giles slowly advanced on Owen, who raised his sword warningly. Giles stopped.
Don't do this, boy. Don't make me kill you.
You wouldn't really kill me. Not your own family. The last of your descendants? The last Deathstalker?
I can always start a new line. I never promised you wealth or fame or an easy death, Owen. Just a chance to be a legend. Whether that's a living legend is up to you. I am fond of you, in my way. The last of my original line. My child, in every way that matters. Don't get in my way, boy. I've done awful things. I created the Dark Void device. This is my chance to atone, to put things right, to make things the way they should be. Don't take that away from me. You've come a long way, fought well, tried hard to do the right thing, uphold the family name. I love you, Owen.
I don't care!
Owen swung his sword double-handed at Giles' neck. Giles' sword swept up to meet Owen's, and sparks flew as the blades crashed together. In a moment, they were circling each other, eyes narrowed, searching for a weakness to exploit. Everyone else stayed back. They understood this was personal. Still, Hazel held her disruptor down by her side. She knew Owen would never forgive her if she interfered in the fight. But she'd already decided that if Giles won and Owen died, she was going to shoot Giles in the back of the head, and to hell with the consequences. Owen and Giles could have used their maze-given power, but they didn't. This was a family matter. They stamped and lunged and parried, swords flashing in and out, surprisingly evenly matched. Giles was the first Warrior Prime, a legendary swordsman. But as he said, Owen had come a long way. The once insular historian and scholar had been plunged into battle after battle, refining and expanding his skills all the time, until he was every bit the legendary swordsman too. It was, after all, his inheritance. The two men fought to their limits, pushing their strength and speed into the inhuman levels of boost and beyond without even noticing. And so they went on, hacking and cutting at each other, drawing blood after blood, neither able to slam home a blow serious enough to cause a mortal hurt. They both grew tired and measurably slower as even their immense strength began to run out. And for the first time, it occurred to Giles that just possibly he might not win this battle. No one had tested him like this since the days of his prime. He could lose. But that was an intolerable thought, and not to be allowed. He hadn't waited 943 years to be denied his destiny by an upstart. He scowled and reached inwardly for his maze-given powers. All he had to do was teleport behind Owen and run him through, and the fight would be over. Honor had become irrelevant in the scheme of things. But reach as hard as he might, he couldn't find his power. It was blocked, canceled out by Owen's powers. On some basic level, Giles slowly realized that neither of them could use his powers against another altered by the maze. It was a safety guard installed by the maze, the knowledge only to be revealed when necessary. Giles was shaken. He'd grown used to depending on his powers, to having an unbeatable ace up his sleeve. He quickly brought himself back under control. If he couldn't win that way, there were other ways. Giles hadn't become a legendary warrior without learning a few dirty tricks along the way. The Summer Isle had had the right idea. Like Kit, Giles had a hidden dagger. He'd never told Owen about it, never saw the need. All he had to do was lure Owen in close and stick the dagger in while the boy was distracted. Simple. Owen would never expect him to use a dirty trick like Kid Dat's. Giles smiled. And so, he carefully maneuvered the younger Deathstalker into a Korakor, making Owen think it was his idea. And the two men came face to face, glaring at each other over the crossed swords, so close their panting breaths moved in and out of each other's mouths. They were both pushing with all their strength, legs braced, holding them where they were. Giles locked eyes with Owen, holding his attention, while his free hand surreptitiously drew his hidden dagger. He stared at Owen and thrust it up into Owen's ribs, only to meet Owen's golden Hayden Man hand coming down to block it. The steel blade shattered on the golden hand. And Giles realized Owen had been waiting for just such a trick. He lurched forward, off balance, and Owen slammed his head forward and headbutted Giles in the face. There was a loud crack as Giles' nose broke, and he staggered backwards, blood spilling down over his mouth. And in that moment of confusion and indecision, Owen stepped forward and ran Giles through. For a moment, they stared at each other over Owen's extended sword. Giles's sword dropped to the floor as his fingers grew numb. He looked down at the sword protruding from his chest, but he did not fall. Owen wondered crazily if he'd have to cut off the man's head to finish him. And then Giles's legs buckled, and he fell to his knees. Owen pulled his sword out, and Giles fell forward onto his face and lay still. Owen stood over his dead ancestor, breathing hard. Hazel came forward and put a comforting hand on his shoulder. "I'm the last one now. There were only ever Giles and David and me, and now I'm the only one left. The last of the Deathstalkers."
"How very touching."
Lionstone's voice was brittle, but still controlled.
"Well, as much as I enjoy watching my enemies slaughter each other in front of me, I think it's time I brought this nonsense to an end. Didn't it ever occur to you that I might have foreseen a situation as this and planned accordingly? I have, you see, a little something I put aside for this day. To be exact, a planet buster bomb, buried in the planet's core, right next to the geothermal tap of my palace. Yes, I know such things have been banned for centuries, but I never let a little thing like that bother me. All it takes is a simple activation code from me, and Golgotha will blow apart into so much glowing rubble. So, either all of you surrender to me unconditionally, right now, or I'll take you, this world, and your precious rebellion down into hell with me. Your choice. Which is more important, your victory, or the billions of people who will die with us?"
Silence looked at her, shocked.
"You wouldn't destroy the homeworld of humanity."
Lionstone smiled.
"Try me."
Ruby looked at random.
What do you think? Is she bluffing?
I doubt it. After all, one of her ancestors gave the order to use the Dark Void device. And she's just desperate and crazy enough to see death as a victory. If she can't play with the toys, at least she can make sure no one else will have them.
She's bluffing. I'll kill her if you're not up to it.
Hold it! Odds are the bomb's booby-trapped to go off if she dies.
How well you know me.
We can't surrender. Not after all we've been through. Not after we've got so close.
What else can we do? We can't get to the bomb, and we can't let billions of innocent people die.
God, you guys go to pieces easily.
Jenny's psycho reached out with her mind, and suddenly they were all linked. Their maze-given powers merging with hers into a white-hot flame that burned in all their minds. Their collective mind dropped through the floor of hell and plummeted down into the earth, Jenny leading the way as though born to it. Thousands of miles flashed by in a moment as they descended through the many layers of the planet, heading for the bomb at the heart of the world. It was well protected, but nothing could defy them now. They deactivated it with a thought, checked around to be sure there weren't any other nasty surprises, and then turned their back on the harmless device and surged up through the earth and back into Lionstone's court.
Wow, some trip.
Sorry to disappoint you, Lionstone, but we just defused your bomb. All part of the service.
You cheats!
Lionstone sent the activation codes, and nothing happened.
No!
She rose up to stand on her throne and threw aside her battle armor, revealing her bare arms. Hidden disruptor implants suddenly rose up through the skin of her arms and opened on the rebels. They threw themselves in all directions as energy beams flashed through the space where they'd been standing. More energy weapons emerged from Lionstone's body, poking their metal snouts out of her shoulders and ribcage. Long steel blades with serrated edges slid out of the backs of her hands. Of course she'd have implants, Owen thought as he hit the floor rolling. A paranoid like her would want to be prepared for anything, and she could afford the best. He reached out with his mind to the others, and together they raised a force shield between them and the throne. They'd done it once before on the Wolfling world, and that shield had stood up the combined firepower of an Imperial pinnace at point-blank range. And so they stood their ground unharmed, as Lionstone's weapons exhausted themselves against the force shield, and she had nothing left to throw at them. She screamed with rage and jumped down from her throne. Owen reached out with the Duke's mind and psychokinetically seized all of Lionstone's implants and ripped them out of her body. She screamed again as her flesh tore open and her implants burrowed up out through her skin and fell bloodily to the floor. Lionstone fell to the floor as well, eyes wild and staring, and clung desperately to the side of her throne. She was panting heavily, only shock shielding her from what had been done to her. Owen dropped the force shield, and the group mind fell apart. He walked forward to stand over Lionstone. She snarled up at him then, mortally hurt and cornered, but still refusing to be cooperative.
You can't kill me, Deathstalker. I'm your empress.
I want to kill you, Lionstone. You don't know how much I want to. For all the things you did to me and to your people, for all the dead of Viramont, and for all who lived in fear and pain because of you. But I won't kill you. That's your way. You're going to stand trial, Lionstone. Let the people judge you. It's their right as your victims.
Well done, Owen. You're really getting the hang of this.
And then the floating view screens suddenly reappeared on the air around them and turned themselves on. Young Jack Random's face appeared on every screen, smiling easily. Being dead didn't seem to have bothered him at all.
Hello, everyone. We're using this phase, as you're familiar with it. For those of you who haven't been keeping up, I speak for the AIs of Shub. It's time for you to hear some of the truths we've been hiding from you. Shub owns the computer matrix of Golgotha. We infiltrated it long ago, making contact with the AIs that were spontaneously generating in the Empire business matrix, and we used them to take control of the larger business entities they evolved. all part of our plan to control humanity through its own tech. Not only did we thus have access to all of humanity's business information, which we manipulated to our own ends and for our own amusement, but we've also been destroying human minds as they access the Matrix, occupying their empty bodies and sending them forth as spies. Even better and more undetectable than Furies. How does it feel knowing we walk among you unsuspected? People you'd know, too. We're everywhere. You can't trust anyone these days. Still, I'm not here to chat. Dear Lionstone, you looked better. But we can still save you from your enemies. You have a home with us on Shub if you wish. You'll have to leave your body behind. But it's such a limited thing anyway. Open your mind to us through your con implants, and we'll do the rest. Come to Shub. You'll have to give up your humanity, but you'll live forever.
Anything for revenge.
And Lionstone opened her con implants. Something from outside seized her mind and tore it out of her body. Her consciousness surged up and out, leaving Golgotha and human cares and limitations behind. Her face replaced young Jack's on all the view screens, laughing triumphantly. And then she was gone. And the screens shut down again. It was very quiet in the court. The rebels moved slowly forward and looked down at Lionstone's body, lying bloodied and broken before the Iron Throne. It was still breathing. They all looked at each other, and then Kit Samurai leaned over and cut off her head.
For you, David.
He straightened up, holding the head by the hair for the others to see.
Just in case. And we'll want something to show the rebels. Let them think her dead and gone. It's for the best.
Sorry.
Everyone had forgotten about Toby Shrek in the back.
But this has all been going out live through Flynn's camera, remember? The whole Empire's been watching this.
Right. Got some great close-ups, too.
Oh, well. At least now they know what kind of creature they had for an Empress. Great. More problems. You realize we're going to have to send the Cyberrats into the Matrix to clean it out before we can use it. Assuming they're as good as they claim they are.
What about the AIs in human form? Now that is one hell of a spooky thought. They said we'd know some of them.
They probably just said that to mess with our heads.
Are you ready to put money on that?
Either way, the struggle isn't over just because Lionstone's no longer on the Iron Throne. Right, Owen? Owen?
They all looked around to where Owen was standing at the foot of the throne. Lionstone's diamond crown had fallen off when Kit decapitated the empty body and was lying right at his feet. It filled his sight. The crown that ruled the Empire. He stood there, blood dripping from the sword in his hand, at the end of his quest. And what did he have to show for it all? He could pick up the crown, place it on his head, and declare himself emperor. He could. He was the last Deathstalker, almost as big a legend as the original. Hero of the Rebellion, Redeemer of the Lost Hayden Men, Savior of Mistworld. There were any number of people and causes he could count on to support him, for their various reasons. He could be Emperor. He might have to kill or imprison a few old friends, abandon a few beliefs, but he could rule the Empire, put things right, make it over in his image. He reached down and picked up the crown.
Well, do you want it?
Owen weighed the crown in his hands, and then let it drop to the floor. No. It's too heavy for me.
You have a legitimate claim. No, I was tempted. But only for a moment. I never wanted to be a ruler, any more than I wanted to be a warrior. Maybe, now this is all over, I'll be allowed to go back to being an historian and scholar again. It's all I ever really wanted.
He looked at the Iron Throne.
No more crowns. No more thrones. They corrupt everything. Bring out the worst in them. Even good people. Like Giles.
He clenched his fists and glared at the throne. It cracked apart from top to bottom and collapsed into dark, broken pieces.
No more thrones, no more rulers. It's time we ruled ourselves. Well said, Owen.
Jack Random moved forward to clap him on the shoulder.
But it's not over yet, for you or me. The aliens are still out there, and Shub. Someone's got to rebuild the Empire and make humanity strong again. We're going to be needed more than ever.
You know, we never did decide just what kind of system we're going to replace the Empire with. I foresee a lot of arguments and raised voices in the near future.
Good. Healthy debate is the cornerstone of democracy.
And if we don't like what they're saying, we can always kick their asses.
Random looked at Ruby. She raised an eyebrow.
What?
That is a problem for tomorrow. Savor today's victory. We paid enough for it. In blood and loss of friends and loved ones.
Some of us are still here.
Quite right.
And Owen took her in his arms and kissed her. Hazel pulled back.
Don't take too much for granted, Stud.
And then she kissed him. Toby whispered to Flynn.
Zoom in for a close-up. Don't you just love a happy ending?
Deathstalker War is a Defiance Audio production. Copyright 1997, Simon R. Green. Directed by Rick Rowan and produced in the studios of the Cutting Corporation. Production copyright 2003, Listen and Live Audio Incorporated and the Cutting Corporation. The Deathstalker theme was composed and performed by Norman Vandersluys.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.